community members in Haines gathered this week to honor Native children and all those impacted by the violent legacy of Native boarding schools. And in Skagway, cleanup of the harbor contamination has stalled, though White Pass says it has a plan. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Corinne Smith. Those stories are up next. On summer solstice evening, First Nations people across Canada and the United States gathered to honor the 215 Native children whose remains were found at the site of the residential boarding school near Kamloops in British Columbia. In Haines, community members gathered Monday at the Alaska Native Brotherhood Hall. Nancy Keene was one of the organizers.
My name is Nancy Keene. It is my Western name, and Skinya Tla Yuchat Duasak Yeth Nachatsati Suknachati Ayachat.
The group shared drumming, songs, prayers, and poetry to honor the children, the loss and tragedy for families and communities. At 6 p.m., she says everyone got quiet.
A moment of silence for the children, and then we went into a song, and that was really wonderful. And it was just, I think unifying is really the key word there. We were coming together. We are going to honor these children.
Keene says Native communities have always known about the deaths and trauma suffered by children and families in the boarding school system, and the excavation of remains is just confirmation. Same for the First Nation peoples in Kamloops, B.C. She says authorities had dragged their feet on doing a proper investigation until now, so the community initiated their own.
They knew exactly what they were going to find. So this is all something that has been spoken about and whispered about for a long, long time. Now it is validated. We have tangible, solid proof.
Keene says that's what's more painful is the public shock at the news. And the wider public, and specifically white people, need to take the opportunity to learn more about the history of the boarding school system and its ties to colonialism and attempted erasure of Indigenous peoples.
We all have technology at our fingertips. It's a matter of doing the work. Go and look. It's all there.
In Haines, across from the A&B Hall, is the site of the former Native boarding school and foster home, Haines House. The school operated from 1921 to 1960, run by the Presbyterian Church. Keene declined to comment about Haines House. She says survivors could tell their own stories. But the legacy and impact is widely felt.
All of us, I mean every single one of us, have endured trauma at some level because we are, all of us, first, second, third generation boarding school, residential school survivors.
And looking ahead, she says it's critical to support Native communities.
What we're talking about is we need to reconnect to our songs, our ceremonies, our connections to the land, how we prayed. With that, we create love, joy, and kinship. We revitalize our languages, rematriate the land. So we need people to meet us halfway so we can share with everyone what that means.
There is a memorial up now in Tlingit Park of children's shoes lined up to honor and remember the Native children lost and all those impacted by boarding schools. And the tragic revelations continue. On Thursday, 3 days after the solstice remembrance in Haines, at least 751 unmarked graves were discovered outside another former Indian boarding school in Canada. This time, it was the Cowessess First Nation who uncovered the site of the Maryavel Indian Residential School in Saskatchewan. In Haines, I'm Corinne Smith. Environmental regulators say Skagway's harbor around the ore dock is contaminated with lead and zinc. A state agency told White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad, which leases the dock, to clean it up over 30 years ago. White Pass says they have a plan, but they're waiting for local officials to approve it. But as Mike Swayze reports, Skagway officials say that's already happened.
Cruise ships are usually tied up at Skagway's ore dock during the summer cruise season, but its history is rooted in mining. or concentrates originally arrived by rail and later by truck, coming into Skagway from mines in Canada's Yukon Territory. The ore gets dumped onto a conveyor belt and loaded onto barges. In the early days, dust from those heavy metals often ended up on the roadways and in the harbor. In 1988, White Pass was tasked with cleaning up the contamination on the roadways. A memo drafted by State Department of Environmental Conservation officials in 1990 stated that the cleanup was successful, but it also noted the contamination of the Skagway Harbor was a pressing issue. There's been little progress since. Last week, Skagway's Borough Assembly passed an ordinance setting sediment standards in an effort to define what a clean harbor means. The municipality plans to take possession of the ore dock in 2023 when the long-term lease with White Pass expires. Skagway Mayor Andrew Cremata says setting local sediment standards is a good start because there are no statewide standards for guidance.
These are standards that we're going to accept here in Skagway. They can be modified. They can be changed at the table to something that everybody's comfortable with.
DEC officials admit there's no one-size-fits-all approach to sediment standards in Alaskan waters.
For soil, for example, we have some tables in our regulation that has, you know, a contaminant and a numerical cleanup level. We don't have the equivalent for sediment.
That's Kara Couche with DEC's Contaminated Sites Program.
But we do evaluate plans for sediment cleanup based on, you know, risk to human health and the environment, and it's up to the responsible parties to evaluate risk and propose cleanup levels.
She says White Pass has submitted plans to use clamshell dredging that would clean up roughly 85% of the contaminants in the ore basin next to the dock. But that plan doesn't address possible pollution under the dock or the ore loader. White Pass's spokesperson in Skagway, Jamie Bricker, wouldn't give an interview but responded to questions via email. She said plans are in the works for dredging and disposing of contaminated sediments in an approved landfill, and that it would be difficult to test for contamination under the dock. She also says White Pass is only one of the responsible parties involved. Cremata takes issue with the company's argument that testing under the dock would be difficult.
If you want to take a sample, do some samples underneath the ore dock, you can just, it's a wooden dock, you just drill right through the dock. And multiple engineering entities have told us that.
DEC officials say White Pass has not submitted plans for testing under the dock, but also stated that after cleanup, the agency would require further testing and potentially further remediation efforts before the project is considered complete. The Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, known as AIDA, owns the ore facility and the ore loader, but leases the land they sit on. White Pass states they cannot clean up the area underneath the ore loader until the equipment is removed. AIDA's lease is also up in 2023. They did not respond to questions about when or if they plan to remove the antiquated ore loader that has been in operation since the 1960s. As for a timeline of when dredging will begin, no one seems to know. White Pass claims they are waiting for written approval of their plan from the municipality. Municipal officials claim they have given the permission verbally and via press release. DEC officials say White Pass still needs to submit a construction work plan and an environmental protection plan for approval before any work can begin. Reporting from Skagway, I'm Mike Swayze.
For KHNS, I'm Corinne Smith. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read these stories and others on our website at khns.org. You can also subscribe to KHNS News on Spotify or anywhere you get your podcasts.